Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24, the Word of God says, "And the Lord appeared unto him," it's talking about Isaac, "and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." The Lord appeared unto him. Why? Why did the Lord appear unto Isaac? Because he was afraid. God answered his fear. God will answer our fear. And God said to him, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to do something for you here." Many believers are paralyzed by fear. Fear is the great enemy of the believer, of the soul. It is the enemy of faith. And fear casts out perfect love. We know that perfect love casts out fear. But fear casts out perfect love. So as a believer, I have to recognize if there is fear in my life. And often, because we are human, often because we are insufficient in and of ourselves, and we are aware of that insufficiency, there is fear in our lives. And God answers our fear. The reason why God answers our fear is because fear is perhaps one of the greatest weapons that the enemy can use against us. Because fear is the very thing that will prevent me from having a faith response and faith obedience to God. When I am afraid, one of the things that will plague me, just like it did with Elijah, when I am afraid, I will be plagued by that fear and I will run. And this is the danger of fear, that I run. Elijah ran to the mouth of the cave and God said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah, you just wiped out 850 prophets. I just came through for you in a very big way." And he wasn't rebuking him, but he was getting Elijah to think with God. And he said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah said, "I'm afraid." And I'm paraphrasing, but Elijah essentially said, "I am afraid. I'm afraid because Jezebel said something. And this is very scary to me because she said she was going to kill me. And she has the ability as the wicked queen to do it. She's killed so many already. And now I'm afraid, God." And God answered Elijah's fear. You see, Elijah did something he shouldn't have done, but God completely understood why he did it. And God was not angry at Elijah. By the way, God is not angry at you for being a human being. God is not angry at you for having the human experience. God is not angry at you because you may have a weakness or because you may have an insecurity. God was not angry with Elijah. God understood the fear. By the way, God understands fear. That's why He sent perfect love. Fear is what separated Adam from God. Adam said, "God, I was afraid, and so I separated myself." When I let fear control me, I will separate myself from God and the things of God. So I must never let fear control me. Fear is the thing that says to me, I'm not willing to take another step. And God now cannot move me. Fear is the thing that says, God, I know Your will, but I'm not willing. Because I'm afraid. And God answers the fear. And so He said to Isaac, don't be afraid, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee. And this is exactly what God says to us in our moments of fear. How many times are people called to or know something in their heart that makes them afraid? And God says, don't be afraid. He says, I'm with you and I'll bless you. There's an interesting thing about Isaac. Nowhere in the Bible is it recorded anything really that Isaac did of any great significance. I mean, it's recorded that Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Okay, so it's recorded that Jacob managed to trick his dad. That's been recorded. It's recorded that Isaac made the same mistake that his father made, and he said to the king, she's my sister, you take her. Because he was afraid of the king and his wife was beautiful. It's recorded that Isaac was the one who was put on the altar, but he didn't make the decision to go there. And nothing in his life was particularly spectacular, except for the fact that God had given his father a promise that spilled over onto him. But Isaac was not a spectacular man. Isaac had highly dysfunctional sons. His sons were a total mess. One of them rejected God outright, and the other one was carnal until well into his life. Isaac was not some amazing guy at all. Isaac was just Isaac. So he had no real reason, perhaps in a human way of thinking, of expecting anything from God, because he was just Isaac. But God said to him, don't be afraid. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to do something for you. Don't be afraid. This is how God approaches us. It doesn't matter what your detail that is making you afraid. God says, don't be afraid. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to do something spectacular for you. Why? Because I'm with you. It doesn't require me being anything out of the ordinary. It's just the extraordinary love of God. And He says, don't be afraid. Nowhere is it said that Isaac was called to anything unique. He just belonged to God. You may not feel like you are called to anything unique, or maybe you feel like you are. But in any case, don't be afraid. Fear is the single biggest enemy the believer has. And God is not the author of it. I become afraid for various reasons. Details of life. Circumstances that seem overwhelming. Perhaps a sense of calling or purpose that I know I cannot fulfill. Perhaps something that I'm going to enter into that is bigger than I am. And I become afraid. Perhaps I'm a parent and I have children and I am afraid what will happen to my children. Maybe I'm afraid of their decisions. my children are making decisions and those decisions frighten me because I don't want my children to go into hell or to mess up their life. I want them to know God. I want them to live in the Holy Spirit. I want them to know the fullness and the richness of God's plan for them. And so I am afraid when they don't seem to be doing the things I feel they ought to be doing to live with God. And God says, don't be afraid. I am with you. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to do something marvelous for you. And by the way, parents, don't be afraid. God is with your children also. And His plan is to bless them and to do something marvelous for them. You're not alone in your circumstances. How many people say, I feel alone? And perhaps as far as other people go, you may be alone. Like Richard Wurmbrand was physically alone for years with no other human contact or company or comfort. But he was never alone. Angels visited him in his prison cell in solitary confinement. He was not alone. Don't be afraid, you will never be alone. Sometimes we see things coming our way and they scare us. Israel was in this circumstance a number of times. Israel stood before the Red Sea with the Egyptians pursuing after them and they were afraid and they started to murmur against Moses because of fear. Israel didn't murmur against Moses because they didn't want God or God's ways. Israel had the failures they had because of fear. That was the only thing that was keeping Israel back, was fear. And they murmured before the Red Sea. And you know what? In some respects, they had good reason to. I mean, here's the sea. People drowned in the sea. Here's the army of the Egyptians coming up behind us. They kill people. Well, we now have the option, Moses. We can drown or we can be killed. Which one are you going to pick for us, Moses? And God, in a manner of speaking, said, don't be afraid. God always has a deliverance for you in your circumstances. God always has a provision in the impossibility of that which you cannot see through. God always has a provision for you in the thing that is overwhelming you. That thing that terrifies you so much, or perhaps even so little, but enough to get you to stop and look around. God has a provision. By the way, your fear is not sin. Not responding to God in your fear, that's where the mistake comes in. For example, Peter was walking on water. This man was walking on water. The only other person that we know of in history who walked on water was the Savior Himself. So Peter was in some pretty amazing company. Both figuratively speaking and in real life. He was there on the sea with God. And what happens as he's there experiencing a mind-boggling miracle right in the midst of it, in the presence of God whom he knew was God. And what happened? Fear entered his heart. He became afraid. And did God say, forget it, Peter, you're afraid, now you're going under? No, the very first thing that God did, even before He taught him anything out of it, and it was not a rebuke, it was an education. Even before He taught him so that he would understand how to respond to God in difficult circumstances, the very first thing He did was caught him. You don't need to be afraid. The very first thing God's going to do if you make any sort of a mistake whatsoever is catch you. Why? Because underneath you are His everlasting arms. There's no place to fall. Don't be afraid. If you mess it up, He'll catch you. There's no need to be afraid. And if what happened next? What happened next to Peter? He learned something from God. He said, Peter, you have a little bit of faith. The mistake that you made was that you didn't use it. Had you used it, Peter, you would have kept walking on water. But that's okay. Now you're walking on water anyway because I caught you. So there was no reason to fear. The storm was not something to fear. The storm in our lives is not something to fear. It is an opportunity to see supernatural activity from God. It is the opportunity to experience something that you have never experienced before directly from the throne of God. Where I get in trouble is when I see the storm as a storm rather than as an opportunity. Your storm is an opportunity. And that's all that it is. In Numbers 14:9, God said this to Israel, "Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." And He's saying this through the spies. "For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." Joshua and Caleb made this confession. And they said something that was very practical, and they were speaking in the anointing of God. They said, "Only rebel not against the Lord." What did it mean for Israel to rebel against the Lord? It meant that they were afraid because they were simply not trusting His character towards them. His faithfulness that would come through for them. And He said, "Don't rebel against the Lord because of your fear, Israel. Just trust Him." This is nothing. These giants in the land are nothing. They're bread. You eat bread. You are sustained by bread. You're nourished by bread. You see, that very thing sometimes that I am afraid of is the very thing that can sustain me and nourish me and build me. It can make me into a man of God or a woman of God. It can develop God's life and God's character. It can strengthen my walk and my life with Him. I was talking to a person recently. And this person is in a beautiful believer in a secular college. And I said to them, "I was a little bit concerned for your circumstances in college. But as I see you going through it, you are growing magnificently." And though this person is in an ugly environment sometimes, because this person is responding to God, they are growing beautifully. And God is using the ugly environment and their heart response to God in that environment to cause them to grow. And they are growing. And they are reflecting God in that environment. People see God in that person. And they are making an impact on the world and a difference in the hearts and lives of those people that are around them in that environment. And they said to me, "At first I was a little bit afraid, like how would this affect me?" But you know what that person did? They didn't fear to the point of not believing God. Instead, they believed God and clung to Him. And He is glorified. He is glorified. and that person has grown in character and in grace, and God is glorified in their life. This is how we operate. This is how we are. This is what we are. In Deuteronomy 31, the Word of God says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them." And this is Moses' last words. Profound things, last words. When you know that you will speak your last words to someone, you choose carefully what words you speak. There are words that have an impact. There are words that will remain with that person, and that is your last gift to them in a manner of speaking. And he said, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them." Don't be afraid. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give to them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, and He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Can you imagine? After 40 years with Moses, the wise old man, the one whose wisdom was your protection, can you imagine what that must have been like to lose Moses? He took him through the wilderness. He took him through the Red Sea. He took them through the trials and the battles against the enemy. He protected them and He gave them wisdom from God. And now Joshua was to step into those shoes. Can you imagine? Joshua relied on Moses just like the rest of Israel. And now to be without Moses? How do you do that? And God said to him, "Don't be afraid." And then in Joshua chapter 1, He said to him, "Just like I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you." You see, it wasn't Moses. It was Moses' God. And Moses' God would be with Joshua in the impossible circumstance that was too overwhelming for him, that faced him right square in the face. He was there. It was time. The time had arrived. And it wasn't Moses that was going to do it. It was Joshua. It was staring him in the face, and he was terrified. Even though he knew God, even though he had won victories, even though he knew how to battle, he was terrified because it was time to lose Moses. And God said, "Don't be afraid. Moses is God. He's going to be with you, Joshua." We enter into circumstances that scare us. Things that seem too big or too hard. And we ask ourselves, "How can I possibly do this?" And God says, don't be afraid. I'm going to do it for you. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to fail you and I'm not going to forsake you just because you're apart from Moses. Don't be afraid because you're not going to be allowed to fall. I'm going to catch you if you make a mistake. Don't be afraid. I led your father Moses and I'm going to lead you. And God was the one who fought their battles. In 2 Kings 6:16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We are in the world, we are facing a circumstance, we are facing people who don't like us or maybe unbelievers, we are facing things that are very difficult and they seem like a huge mountain. And what is it that God says to us? He says, fear not, for they that are with us. Do you think it is interesting? I certainly do. That God's way of putting it was, for they that are with us. Do you realize what he's saying here? He said, I'm not going with you. You're coming with me. That's a big difference. For they that are with us are more. The Holy Spirit is more than anything the world can put together. And He is far more than any fear that I may have. He is much greater and much more powerful. And in 2 Corinthians 20:17, that very thing that seems so difficult to me, He says, you shall not need to even fight the battle. Set yourself and stand still. Don't run, stand still, he says, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. The Lord will be with you. That thing that's scaring you, don't run from it. There's no need to. The salvation of the Lord came when they stood still. And then God was with them to fight the battle. Hey, do you think they won with God on their side? Too often we fear. Too often we fear. And finally, in closing, in 1 Chronicles 28, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. And then he said, fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. In other words, until you go home to be with the Lord, He will not fail you. Amen?